Perhaps there are some words or some phrases that you find particularly precious or encouraging. Perhaps a dad or mum or a husband or a wife has a pet name for you. And when you hear that phrase, it fills your heart with joy. Perhaps there's a nickname, not a cruel one, but an affectionate one. And when you hear that, you think, ah, now that's a relationship. And everything in that phrase, everything in that label that's being applied to you speaks something of the relationship that you sustain between the speaker and the hearer. I hope that if you're a Christian here this morning, the phrase, my sheep, is sweet to your soul. Now, it might sound like a strange phrase to be laden with sweetness. If you heard a farmer in the field talk about my sheep, you might not immediately think, well, that's some of the richest language that I can imagine. But when you read it in verse 27 of John chapter 10, and you understand that it comes from the mouth of the good shepherd, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That is the sweetest language that could be applied to any group of people. My sheep, the good shepherd speaking of the flock that's been given to him by his father. We've already seen that language in the 95th Psalm, the sheep of God's pasture, the flock of God's hand. And that flock has been given to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. They are his, and he is to take care of them, and he is to purchase them. And that's what he has done with his blood. He laid down his life for the sheep. He took his life again for the sheep. That whole earlier discourse that we read from chapter 10 and verse 1 is all about what he does as the good shepherd who cares for the sheep. And so when this shepherd speaks of my sheep, it's a close relationship of mutual affection and commitment. We are Christ's and he is ours if he can speak of us as my sheep. So who are the shepherd's sheep? Well, they are distinct. Even today, you boys and girls, have you ever seen a flock of sheep? If you've ever gone into an estate of some kind, the sheep are marked out. I distinctly remember, is a running family joke. I was probably, somewhere between 5 and 10, the age when something like this would have been hilarious. Going on a family holiday, there were the animal gates all over the place with the ridges to stop the deer or the sheep going in and out. And every sheep on this estate had an enormous blue splotch on its backside. They were marked out as belonging to a particular owner. And the running joke was about the blue-bottomed sheep. And when I was that age, I thought that was hilarious. But every sheep was so marked. And the sheep of Jesus Christ are marked. They too are distinct. They may not necessarily have a visible stamp upon them in the way that modern sheep in the UK do, but nevertheless, they are distinctively his, and they can be identified as his. And that's the point that our Lord Jesus is making here in John chapter 10 and verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Now, it's possible here that there are two triplets. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Or three couplets. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. You can see how taking it in either of those two ways gives some particular insight into perhaps how the statements there hold together. But we're going to look at it primarily here as a triplet. Verse 27 alone, my sheep, what do? They hear my voice. My sheep, what is true of them? I know them. And my sheep, what do? They follow me. These are the things that indicate those who belong to the Good Shepherd. And the reason why our Lord is making this point here is because he is speaking to people who are not his sheep as well as his sheep. Go back to verse 25. The Jews have surrounded him and they're challenging him as to his true identity. I told you. I told you. The reason you're asking me is not because you haven't had the answer, it's because you didn't want the answer. The problem isn't that I didn't tell you. The problem is that when I told you, you rejected what I said. The works that I do in my Father's name, and those are some of the glorious miracles that are recorded in John's Gospel, they bear witness of me. They tell you who I am. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. You see, those who are not sheep have rejected the evidences and the invitations of the Good Shepherd. Christ has demonstrated, and we still have that demonstration right here in our Bibles, that he is indeed the Christ. He is the sent one, the anointed of God, who has come into the world to deliver all who trust in him from their sins. And as the Good Shepherd, as the Messiah, the Christ, those two words are the same in different languages, the Messiah, the Christ, this anointed and appointed deliverer. He has demonstrated his identity by the miracles that he has performed, and he has been calling people on the basis of that identity to come to him. And some have said, no, prove it. And Christ is saying in effect, prove what? What more do you need to see? What else do you need to hear? My sheep are the ones who hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. It is this hinge of belief, unbelief, upon which the matter turns. So who then are the sheep of Christ? And that's not just about looking out and saying it's him, it's her. It's about looking in and asking, is it me? Am I one of Christ's sheep? There are marks here. The open ear. They hear my voice, says Christ. The loving heart. This is the Christward angle. I know them. And then the ready foot. They follow me. What then do these things mean? What are the encouragements that we can take? What are the assessments that we need to make in the light of the shepherd's sheep being described here? Think first of all then of the open ear. My sheep hear my voice. Now these things have already been spoken by our Lord in that longer discourse from the beginning of chapter 10. Go back to verse 3. The shepherd of the sheep is the one to whom the doorkeeper opens, and notice, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Here is a shepherd then who calls his flock, who calls each member of his flock by name. And the flock hear his voice. There's a response to the call of the shepherd. They desire this call. Now, they may not have an appetite for it until they first truly hear it. There is an invitation that goes out generally into the world. there is Christ's broad offer that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. There is Christ's general invitation that anybody here may come to him this very moment, trust in him with regard to his finished work and the perfections of all his being and doing, and in trusting him find everlasting life. But so often those things are just shrugged off. To so many people they sound like an emptiness or a nonsense. But when the Spirit begins to work in your soul, and when you begin to understand your need of a Saviour, when you begin to appreciate that when Christ came into the world, sinners to save, it's not just generic, and it's not people out there, but it's men and women, boys and girls like me, that I need this salvation, that I have offended against God, that I have sinned against his holy law, that I have transgressed, that my life has been marked and marred by rebellions and by iniquities, that I need to be forgiven. Then Christ becomes precious to us. And when then the voice of the Lord Jesus cuts through the muck and the mess of this world and my sinful heart and speaks and says, come to me that you may have life and may have it more abundantly. That desire then is expressed in the coming to Jesus Christ. And from the very first note, when the voice of the Lord Jesus is properly heard, we love to hear it. Because we hear and we delight in the voice of the shepherd. Perhaps you've been in a situation where for months at a time you've not been able to meet with somebody that you love. And then at last the government permits the door of your home to open again. And perhaps you're sitting in the back of the house or wherever it may be. And all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. Somebody opens it and you hear that voice. Perhaps it's grandpa or grandma. Perhaps it's a friend you haven't seen for a while or another family member. And all you need is the tone of the voice. All you need is the particular lilt. You can hear the accents and the pitch and the tone, and it all says to you, the one that I love is here. Perhaps someone's been away for a long time. And you know what it's like? You pick up the phone, it's their voice on the other end. When at last you hear their voice, not over the airwaves, but in person. The Christ, the Christian, hears the voice of the Christ and delights in it, desires it. It speaks peace to us. Do you want the Lord Jesus to speak to your soul? Does it bring joy? How do you read your Bible? Drop the how. Do you read your Bible? Because this is where Christ speaks to his people. How do you come to the preaching of the Word of God? Because it's not the voice of a mere man. God speaks through the preaching of the Word. Have you stored up this truth in your heart? Are you labouring to meditate on and memorise things that Christ speaks to us? And remember, the whole book is God's truth to you. Do you delight in it? Is it more precious to you than your necessary food, to use the language of Psalm 119? God's people desire the voice of the shepherd. And they can discern the voice of the shepherd. They can tell who it is. Now, you and I live in a world where there are many different voices and many different claims. There's one good shepherd, but there are many hirelings. And you will hear a clamour of voices, and they're all ready to shepherd you, all ready to lead you, to guide you, to tell you where to go and what to do and where you should eat and where you should rest, and dictate to you your priorities and your preferences, lead you in the way that you should go. But the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. And you notice that they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. This is the blessing of the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts. For some of us, perhaps before we even came to Christ, there were multiple voices clamouring for our attention. We felt our misery. We knew our need. And there were lots of offers. I can help you. I can sort you out. Come this way. Do this. Follow that. Why did you not hear their voices? Why did you not go after them? For some of us, God in his mercy has spared us. Perhaps even as a young Christian, you had people who would say to you, well, Christianity means dot, dot, dot. You just perhaps imbibed certain things, or perhaps you still have, and you've not heard the clear teaching of the Word of God. And yet, as you begin to search the Scriptures, as you read the Word of God, as you hear the preaching of the truth, as you engage with God's people, you begin to say, you know what? There's something about this that doesn't sound quite right. You know, when I read my Bible and when I look at these things in the light of God's Word, you know, this thing that I've been believing, these things that I've been told, they're not true. They're not complete. They're not sufficient. God brings you so that you do not follow the voice of the stranger. Now, it doesn't mean that every Christian gets everything right all the time. But the true sheep do not follow a stranger very far or very long, because they hear the voice of the shepherd. They desire it and they discern it. They want to know what Christ says. And when something is off, when something isn't quite right, then they turn to the voice of the true shepherd. They seek it in the right place. They test it by the right standard. That's why in Acts chapter 17, you've got the praise of people in a place called Berea. They received the word of God with all readiness, and they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. They weren't suspicious, but they were at least careful. The Apostle John tells us to test the spirits. Make sure that you know what you're hearing and where it comes from, because there's a great deal of deceit. You need to be able to go back to the Bible. That's always the test. Is it true? Is this in accordance with what God has spoken? You know, you can get those tuning forks and you can ring one on one side and the other one picks up the note and they begin to vibrate at the same frequency. Well, the eardrum, the spiritual eardrum of a Christian ought to vibrate at the same frequency as the voice of Jesus Christ. There ought to be something in common. That is his voice. I know it. I can check it. It sounds like him. And we delight in it. It's pleasant music to our ears. I don't know how many people you know who you say their voice is music to your ears. Most of us sort of think, yeah, I could do with a bit of work on the voice box. It doesn't necessarily bring a smile to anybody, just the mere tone of my voice. Oh, what of Christ? The spiritual tone of Christ's voice, the sweetness, the richness, the kindness, the truthfulness of the words which he speaks. Because it's our Saviour speaking, because it's our Shepherd speaking, we hear his voice. And everything he says delights us. Now, it doesn't delight us in the same way, but it does truly delight us. None of us can pick and choose when it comes to the words of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. There are some who say, well, I like his promises. I like the offers. I'm happy to take this. What about the instruction? What about the warning? What about the rebuke? The sheep of the shepherd hear his voice. And whatever he says to us, we receive with equal authority and with the same humility. So if the word of Christ brings great pleasure and comfort in a particular moment, then I am grateful for it. But if the word of Christ cuts across some sinful appetite or desire, if it keeps me back from going in a way that my heart might have gone into danger, then I am equally delighted. that Christ in his mercy has been pleased to speak to me and hold me back or turn me away. And what a consolation this is as we seek to make the Lord Jesus known. Gospeling, evangelizing, testifying of Jesus Christ. What are we doing but simply trying to make the voice of Christ heard? It's not our wisdom. It's not our cleverness. We try and ensure that the word of God goes forth. For in the truth, the voice of the good shepherd is heard. We don't need to dress it up. We don't need to turn it into something that entices on a merely worldly level. Because as we preach God's good news, we simply pray that the sheep would hear the shepherd's voice and that they would feel their hearts touched and that they would come to him in order that they may obtain life. It's not tuning our voice. It's rather declaring the word of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, our confidence is that the shepherd will call to himself those who are his. The sheep have an open ear. They hear my voice. But the shepherd has a loving heart. I know them. Again, go back to the beginning of chapter 10. The sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And then verse 14, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known by my own. This is the happiness of God's true people. This is the joy of the sheep, that Christ knows us. Do you relish that? Is that a delight to you? That whatever else may be spoken of you, whatever other privileges you may enjoy, whatever good things you have in this life, that which is precious to you is this, that you are known by Jesus Christ. You're known affectionately. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. You hear the note of contrast? The hireling doesn't care. The shepherd does care. That's one of the things that marks him out as the true, the good shepherd, because of his affectionate regard for his flock. He sets his love upon his people, and he does it from before the foundation of the world. You see, he doesn't become the good shepherd because somehow the sheep have brought themselves to him. The sheep have been scattered. And the good shepherd, because he loves them, comes to call them and to bring them to himself. Everything that the good shepherd does is a demonstration of the love of his heart. We delight in his voice, but he is speaking because he delights in his sheep. He has come because of the love that he bears toward us. He knows us affectionately and he knows us thoroughly. I know my own sheep. There is nothing hidden from him. And therefore there are no shocks to the good shepherd. This is not an ignorant love. Perhaps when you hear me say that Christ loves his people, when you hear me say that Christ is ready to save you, you think, well, you clearly don't know much about me, because if you knew what took place in my heart, if you knew what I had done in my life, if you knew about my misspent youth and then my misspent middle years, if you knew what bubbled up out of my soul, you would never tell me that the God of heaven could love a sinner like me. My friend, that is precisely what I can tell you, because God himself has made it known. God loves, certainly not because of our sin, in the sense that he says, that is something that I look upon with favour. But God loves in the very teeth of our sin. Christ laid down his life for sinners. Christ didn't say, in effect, afterwards, hang on, this is not what I expected. this is not what I wanted. These are not the people. You know, look at them. I mean, what a mess, what filth, what ugliness, what vileness is in their hearts. No, when Christ laid down his life for us, he did so bearing our sins upon the tree. It was because we were sinners. It was because of our very need. It was taking full account of all our wretchedness. It was that which drew the heart of Christ in pity towards us. Christ knew you, my friend, through and through when he died for his people upon the tree. And he knows you now with all your ongoing foolishnesses and failings, with all your continued weaknesses and sinning. And that's why Christ doesn't give up on his sheep. Because it's not as if he turns around and says, well, that's not what I expected. I thought you were going to be better than that. No, Christ knows exactly how wretched and needy you are. And that's why he comes for you, to be the shepherd who saves you from your sins and who goes on caring for you. Affectionate, thorough, saving knowledge. He calls us to himself. He calls us by our name. There again is that specificity. There's that particularity. If you're a Christian, it's because Christ said, you come to me. You. Because I have loved you. I've given myself for you. And now I'm sending my Spirit to work in you, that you may be made willing and may be drawn to me even now. He bestows life upon all those for whom he died. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My friends, Christ died for us. He knew us and he came for us, laying down his life on our behalf. He knows us compassionately. Again, he knows every demand you're going to put upon him. He knows all the weakness that is going to put a dependence upon his strength, a demand upon his strength. And he cares for all your needs. He leads you into the green pastures and by the still waters. He pities us. He's ready to bless us. He knows our frailty. He remembers that you're dust. And he loves you and he provides for you in that very situation. He knows you responsibly. The sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to guard you. He's going to take care of his flock. Yes, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil. Why? Because the shepherd of the sheep is with you. His rod and his staff, they comfort you. He's going to defend you. What happens when the wolf comes? The hireling runs. What happens when danger arises? The hireling flees. What happens when the lion roars? The hireling hides. What happens when the bear approaches? The hireling ditches the sheep. Why? Because he doesn't care. The good shepherd, when he sees the threat coming, he runs towards it. Isn't that one of the remarkable things? You see it sometimes, and sometimes it's properly noticed. There's a great disaster. Think of some of the bombs that have gone off, or the earthquakes that have occurred, or the volcanoes that have erupted, sinkholes that open up, floods that begin to overflow. And what typically happens? See people running, fleeing, sprinting through the streets, except for a few. And they're the ones who are running toward the trouble. You ever think about some of those acts of terrorism you've seen recorded now on phones and closed circuit television cameras on the streets of a place like London? You see the people scattering. You see perhaps the one or the two in uniform. And they're running in to the danger. Christ above all faced a foe that no man alone could stand against. But the God-man went, and the God-man stood against sin and death and hell, and he overcame Satan on behalf of his people. I know them, and I take charge of them. And he knows us securely. He said that he will never leave us or forsake us. He loves us to the end. He keeps us forever. No one will be able to snatch us out of the Good Shepherd's hand. No one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. The Good Shepherd and his Father are one. One God. One in heart. One in purpose. One in saving intent. He knows you, Christian. Everything you are is open to him. And he loves you. And he cares for you. And he's taken responsibility for you. And he is watching over you. And he is holding on to you. And he will never let you go. The open ear, the loving heart, and the ready foot. They follow me. Now, why would you not when the shepherd is like that? You see how it holds together? Someone says to you, follow me. Some weirdo walked up to you on the street and said, follow me. Would you? No, you'd want to know their character. You'd want to know their caliber. You'd want to know what kind of person they were. If you were running into battle, and you had an officer who said, go over there. That's not the same as an officer who says, come with me. Follow me. I will lead you. The sheep go where the shepherd leads. That's what marks them out as the sheep. See, Christianity is not here simply a system. We don't follow a system. We don't follow a set of rules and regulations first and foremost. We follow a person. We follow after the Lord Jesus, the good shepherd of the sheep. And to follow him means to follow him trustingly. You have to be confident. You have to know him. You have to know his heart. You have to know who he is and what he has done. You cannot suspect and doubt him if you are going to follow him. You cannot think that you know better than he does. Otherwise you will not go where he leads. You have to be confident with regard to his goodness. Confident about his supreme wisdom. Confident about his heart's kindness. You need to be hearing and heeding. So that even if he says, go this way. And you say, it looks dark. Come with me. It looks unpleasant. Come with me. See, follow him. Not go in by yourself. Perhaps you have a friend like that or a mentor. You know somebody that if they said to you, you need to come with me, you need to follow me. There are some people who go, if you're going in there, I am not coming. And there are some people of whom you say, if you need me in there, I am going with you. And where the shepherd goes, the sheep are ready to follow. Because he knows them. And they delight in him. And they trust him. That whatever he asks of us, he will be with us and he will guide us. And so we go willingly. My friend, are you ready to follow Jesus? Are you willing to walk in his ways? Here, if you like, is the practical test of the delight that you say that you take in the Word of God. Ah, yes, Christ speaks to me here. Do you do it? Christ, his voice is so raw. I love my Bible. Do you do it? Oh, isn't it great to be in church? At which point you might start thinking, are you trying to divert the conversation? Do you follow the Word of Jesus Christ? Do we actually do what he says? And do we do it willingly? Not resentfully. Not bitterly. Not complaining. Not challenging him. Why would he say this? Why do I have to do that? This is too much. It's too demanding. No, the sheep hear his voice. He knows us and we follow him trustingly, willingly, carefully. We go in his footsteps. That's what keeps us safe. Even though the way be hard, even though it is the narrow path, it is the straight way. I was reading the other day about a group of soldiers who were amongst the first into Afghanistan after the American bombings in which the Twin Towers fell. And the entire landscape in Afghanistan was, and to some extent still is, littered with landmines. And very few of them were marked. And they had particular guides and allies amongst the Afghan militia fighting against the Taliban. And more than once, the author records how they'd go into a place and they'd start noticing perhaps some vehicles that have been destroyed, or even some body parts that have been left behind. And they'd go, "Oh yeah, sorry, we're in a minefield. Tread where I tread." It was just a common danger for them. "Oh, by the way, yeah, put your feet where I put my feet, because I know where is safe." Do you follow Christ carefully? There are many dangers, there are many traps. Satan has many devices, many designs by which he will destroy, if he could, at least damage the people of God. Satan would have you go limping to heaven, your spiritual feet perhaps blown off by an explosive device. And Christ says, "Step where I step." And the sheep say, "I will, and I will be careful. I will not deviate from the way that the Lord Jesus lays down for me, because this is the safe way. And his word then is a light to my feet and a lamp to my path. And I know that even though I am going into perhaps a season of darkness and difficulty, though there may be many afflictions and distresses, yet if I am following close behind the shepherd, then I will be safe, for he will be near me and I will be in his way." My friends, it's dangerous for you to think that you know better than Jesus Christ. Dangerous for you to say that you have a better route. Follow him carefully. Precise obedience. I love the story of one of the early Puritans, a man by the name of Richard Rogers. Richard Rogers was a lovely Christian man, and he had friends in society. And one of them once said to him, "Mr. Rogers, I like you very well, but you are so precise, sir. You know, we get on all right. You're a nice guy. You're a nice neighbour. But why are you so careful? Why are you so picky? Why are you so concerned about what God thinks?" "Mr. Rogers, I like you very well, but you are so precise." "Sir," said Mr. Rogers, "I serve a precise God. This is the way of peace. It's the way of happiness. It's the way of security. It's the way of blessing. It's the way of joy." If I were to, you know, we've got the arrows still, a few of them at least, on the floor. You sometimes see, don't you, the footsteps that people put out. What if I were to say, if you can get from one side of the building to the other without stepping on anything but the arrows or the footsteps, you'll get a chunk of gold on the way out. You've got a gold bar. How careful would you be to put your feet in the right places? Ever played that game where you've got to get the thing along the charged wire? Go back to the beginning. Sometimes you see them in on a pier or something. They always offer you some grand prize if you're there. You've got to do it so carefully, and then you've got to turn it around. You see people, their whole bodies are twisting, concentrating. Why? Because there's a great prize at the end if I can carefully trace the way. My friends, there's a great prize at the end if we carefully trace the way. And we therefore follow him expectantly. Do you actually believe that Christ intends to do you good? Does he have your best interests at heart? If he were to forbid you something that you've had your heart set upon, if he were to withhold something that you might have wished for, if he were to bestow upon you some gift that comes wrapped in dark colours that you would never have wished for, but is intended to do you good, do you believe that however good or bad it may seem to the eye of flesh, that the way your shepherd leads you is good and wise and right? And do you look for blessing then on the way? And do you look for blessing at the end of the way? Is he getting it wrong for you, Christian? Is your life a testimony to all the mistakes that the ever-loving and all-wise God has made in guarding you and guiding you? Or is it full of the mercy and the kindness of a God who knows so well all that you need in order to make you his own? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Is he then your shepherd? Have you heard his voice? Do you enjoy his knowledge of you? Are you following in his footsteps? Are you his sheep? And you see what it comes back to? Do you believe? There were many in the days when Christ was walking upon the earth who heard everything that he said, who saw everything that he did. The evidence was laid before them, the invitation was extended to them, and they said, "We need proof." And the same is true here this morning. Everything that Christ has done and said is spread before you. Even in the words that we have read and the reminders that you have heard, the evidence of the Son of God come into the world to save sinners, the Good Shepherd of the sheep, has sounded again in your ears. Do you hear his voice? And are you following him? Christ's sheep are evident. They may not have blue splotches of ink on their bodies, but they hear his voice. And they follow after him because he knows them. Here is the sweet, mutual, affectionate relationship that the Good Shepherd and his happy sheep enjoy. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And by this you may know whether or not you belong to Jesus Christ. And if you do not, listen as he speaks, hear as he calls, and come to him who calls his sheep to himself. Stand among the flock and follow after the Saviour. Amen.